Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard, and you are listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm so excited about today's episode and my guest, Jackie, but before I get into Jackie's background, I want to take an opportunity to talk about the Naked Beauty Planet community on Instagram. So for the very first time, the Naked Beauty Podcast has a home on Instagram. It's at Naked Beauty Planet. I am so excited by all of you that have been joining, that have been participating in all of the polls, sending me suggestions. All of you guys are so cool. I've been loving talking to you. So if you'd like to join at Naked Beauty Planet, like a planet in the universe on Instagram, I hope to hear from you soon. Let's get into today's guest. Okay, I couldn't be more excited about my guest today, Jackie. She is the founder and CEO of DJ Zoo. It's a female-focused design and innovation company, and the first flagship brand that Jackie launched as part of DJ Zoo is Shower Cap. Shower Cap is written with three H's. I don't know if you've seen their branding. They're kind of everywhere, at least in New York. I remember when they first came out, they had these beautiful, beautiful advertisements all over Chelsea Market, and I just thought it was so brilliant that someone had thought to redesign and reinvent the same tired old shower cap and make it something chic. It's kind of like a turban design. It's amazing. And she has been on every Fast Company list. She's very much recognized as a trailblazer in terms of young women that are disrupting the beauty industry. I think it's going to be a really great episode. Before we get into it, just want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Studio Headphones. You guys have heard me talk about them before. I have a link in my show notes. All of my listeners get 15% off of any purchase when they use the code NAKEDBEAUTY. They are amazingly designed and perfect for someone with an active lifestyle. I'm always at the gym. I can't be tethered. Having wireless headphones has been a game changer. So definitely check out Studio. Their designs are great. Enter code NAKEDBEAUTY at checkout for 15% off. All right, let's get to the show.
You have really nice skin.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Do people just sit here and compliment you all the time?
No, not at all. Not
Cheers.
At all. Cheers. So I have been aware of you for at least like a year and a half. Like you're actually in a deck that I put together for this like product that I wanted to launch. And it was like a proof of concept to show that like when a young millennial comes in to disrupt, they can do it. And it was the Fast Company article. I think it was like one of the first pieces of coverage. So when you reached out to me on Instagram, I was like, of course, like I know you and everything about your company and like who you are, because you're like killing it.
Thanks.
Which is amazing. And
thanks. I want to know more about your product.
I know. That's like, we'll have drinks and discuss.
A separate conversation.
But since this is our first time meeting, I don't know anything about your background. So I'd love to hear kind of just like how you grew up, where you're from.
Yeah. So I was born in Manhattan.
Okay.
I lived in the city until I was about three.
Okay.
And then my parents moved us out to Long Island.
Okay.
Us, as in just me. I'm an only child. And that's where I went to elementary school and high school. My dad moved to Cobble Hill when I was about nine.
Okay.
So that area is what I consider home, like Borum Hill, Cobble Hill.
Nice.
Downtown Brooklyn, like Smith Street. That
very nice area. It's changed a lot too.
It's changed so much. But he was there like right at the cusp. You know how they say like dad's the original hipster?
Yes, exactly. That's your dad.
Yeah. So I grew up on Long Island with two very creative parents. My mom was a hairdresser and a makeup artist for television and movies.
Ah.
And my dad was and is a set designer.
Oh, wow.
Set builder. So he was doing a lot of that. They met on set.
Cute.
And he has a set design company in the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
What's it called?
So it's called Daddy-O Productions.
Daddy-O Productions. Oh, and you designed their logo, which I've seen, and it's a very nice logo.
It needs a refresh, but
I like it. Yeah. It has a lot of personality.
It does. It's a good brand because it represents him. But he did like our first sets, and he helped out a lot on the fashion show. So he's a big part of our story.
That's so cool to be able to work with your dad.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then
it has its challenges, obviously.
Obviously. And then do you ever go to your mom to get your hair and makeup done, or...?
Not as much. She always cut my hair when I was little, but she lives in California now.
Okay. Okay. And then your husband is a creative as well.
He is.
So you're also like a duo creative couple. Do you like being with someone that has that background?
Again, it has its challenges. No, just kidding. it's really nice to be able to speak the same language as someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're a creative professional, it drives so much of what your passions are. So it's really nice to be able to like not drag him to a gallery opening, but for him to be, you know, putting me on to certain things that are happening. And like, we do a lot of like inspiration days, and a lot of our trips out of town and our weekends are like art based or creative based. So even if it's just like going to a park that's supposed to have like great colors and foliage, like we see the world similarly, which I think is really important.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so does he work at all on the stuff you're doing with DJ Zoo, or totally separate?
You know, we're self-funded. So when I first launched, I was a solo entrepreneur. And it was definitely like a family affair. Like my dad was helping out with sets. My husband would, you know, jump in and help with certain things. But we've been pretty self-sufficient since day one. I try to keep him not involved because it's all consuming anyway.
Yeah.
And there's only, you know, so many places that you can draw a line.
Yes.
But he has his own studio now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
That's great. So
shower cap is 100% my thing.
That's great. That's, it's like 100% you. You don't have to make compromises. You don't have investors. I mean, that's great. That's the dream.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting because of the growth that we've seen. And, you know, if we were having this conversation this time last year, I don't think I'd be as confident or as excited about claiming that title. But I really do believe that there's only so few companies that can tell this story right now. And I'm really proud to be one of them. And we're finally in a position where we're hiring like crazy.
I know. I feel like your team is so cool, and you moved into a new office space. It's like the dream.
It's really fun. I mean, I really believed in it when I was in development, and I really, really, really believed in it when I put it out into the world. But I do feel like that energy and that momentum that I was exerting in the beginning is coming back to us in like tenfold, triplefold. Just because it's so palpable, you know, it really did feel like an explosion at launch, like even with pennies and funding.
Yeah.
So that piece has been really exciting and really, really deeply rewarding, because I had always used these skills for other people.
Yes.
I was working in advertising.
And, right.
Yeah. To be able to like channel it and
to your own thing is such a powerful thing.
Yeah. It feels really good.
Okay. So we're going to talk about your move from working for other people to starting your own thing, but let's go back to Long Island. Where in Long Island are you from?
Baldwin.
Baldwin. Okay.
B-Town represent.
So Long Island, I feel like, is a very specific beauty look, right? Especially for like certain types of girls. So, okay, tell me what Jackie was like in high school in Long Island. Like, what was your look?
My look was like, can I say Jappy even though I'm not Jewish? I grew up on Long Island, so I can say Jappy. That's the look.
Yeah. But we should, because I feel like people, it's a very New York term to say Jappy. I feel like people think maybe it's Japanese.
Yes. Jewish American princess.
Yes.
I wore a lot of solo pants. Oh,
of course, with like the rolled down hardtails.
I had chunky highlights. Of course, I wore like the JNCOs when I was a little bit younger. But then Baldwin is like a little G.
Okay.
So a lot of high school, like, all of my group was wearing like, you know, full face makeup and pin straight hair with highlights.
Yeah.
With like rolled Nike sweats and like white uptowns.
It's such a look.
It's such a look.
It's such a specific look.
It's such a specific look. But I always like would pepper in some Abercrombie.
Okay.
You know?
Like a little bit of like the suburban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The suburban girl.
The suburban girl. And so.
And the nails.
Oh, yeah. So what was your nails? Did you do like French tips?
French tip acrylics, obviously. all the way, clearly. that was my look. And the fake tans.
Oh, right.
You can't forget the fake tans.
That's a whole thing. I mean, obviously, I've never experienced, but
you
just go into a booth and get sprayed.
It was before the spraying.
Okay. Oh, like you lie like, in the bed and like get the cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not proud, but I stopped. I'm very naturally pale and I rock.
Yeah,
I know.
And your complexion's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. I think that the dark hair with like the more fair complexion is like a very classic look.
Thanks.
So you went to a co-ed school, I assume.
Yeah.
So were there cliques? Like, were you part of a certain, like, were you in the artsy crew, or were you a cheerleader? Were you like...
Yeah. As far as, like, the cliques, I would say that I was, like, the least popular in, like, the popular crew.
Okay. That's a very specific place, and, like, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's good to not be the most popular, because if you look back at, I feel like for everyone, the most popular girl in school is never doing anything today.
No, like, she has no hustle.
Nothing. She's not doing anything interesting.
Yeah, she peaked in high school.
And you do not want to peak in high school. You do not want to peak in high school. It is not the place to peak. And so did you ever have like an awkward middle school phase? Like, did you ever have a phase where you were like, I just did not feel good in my skin?
Yeah, that was definitely... I was always a really cute, precocious kid. And then I bloomed early. So like around 12, 13, it was just like not, like no one else had boobs, no one else had curves.
So you were like the first to get.
I had a growth spurt and I've always been kind of tall. So that was definitely it. But then I'd say by like summer going into freshman year, I came into my own and I had a really, I think all throughout high school, I had a really strong understanding of like the power of female sexuality because I was like a sexy looking girl at that age.
So you were getting attention for like your new body parts, like your hips and boobs, right? Yeah. Like at an early age, right?
Yeah.
Was that uncomfortable
like
though?
Freshman, sophomore year. No.
You kind of just like owned it.
I still like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's like a really cool part about being a woman that you either have to like lean into or kind of, or react against, I guess.
Yes.
But I've always been really interested in just like, in owning it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. When Darian was on, she was talking about how she wants to get a breast reduction. And she's like, I just want to be able to wear a top without a bra. And I was like, take it from me. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Like, I can do that regularly, and I would much rather have like a full chest than to be able to not wear a bra.
I mean, the grass is always greener.
Exactly.
The grass is always greener, and I think it's less about like the female form and more about the confidence in the way you carry yourself.
Yeah. So have you always been
like,
really...
I think you're very sexy.
Oh, thank you.
I love little boobs too. Oh,
thank
is that,
you.
Is that like
I've like learned to... Like, I think that I have a very athletic frame that can read as like boyish, right? Like whenever I read magazines and it's like pear shape, whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm boyish. Got it. Broad shoulders. Like I got it. But I think I've learned to embrace it because it's like, what? You just have to like... love what you've got, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that like, especially now, you know, the body pos movement is so important.
It is.
But I'd like to think that a lot of us have been practicing those things for a really long time. Like, I'm happy that it's in the forefront of the media conversation. I'm happy that we're seeing like that kind of forward thinking in castings and especially runways and, you know, and spreads.
Yes.
Like that is so important.
Yes. And I have to say for you, so I first saw your creative in Chelsea Market. I think it was like last holiday.
Yeah.
It was everywhere. Shower cap, shower cap, shower cap. And I was so happy to see so many models of color integrated into your creative and also front and center, because a lot of times people use black models but they're kind of like on the ends or like on the side, like they're kind of like sprinkled in, but you had these like beautiful brown skin models very front and center, and on your site, on your social, everything you do is very inclusive. Was that like a point from the beginning?
I think it's more just how I live my life.
Right. It wasn't,
you
even
know,
like a...
I never really responded to like a whitewashed look in general. Like that never felt like something that I could connect to. But also, you know, I know my girl, like my girl has every type of hair. My girl has, you know, every type of complexion. My girl has every, you know, body type.
Right.
And I want to make sure that whenever we're putting an image forward, especially because as founder, it's also really public that I'm the creative director.
Right.
So I can't really separate myself from those types of decisions.
Right. Yes.
And that's where I think I'm super conscious of it, because I am the decision maker in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's just really important that anytime someone's experiencing the brand, they're experiencing it the way that we talk about it and the way that we feel about it, which is like that it really is for everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what's your like ethnic background?
I'm half Italian, half Irish.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is your hair naturally this dark?
Yes. It's like, actually darker.
Isn't there like a thing called like black Irish when you have like light eyes and dark hair?
Yeah, I think this is actually like the Italian coloring, like the northern Italian coloring.
Okay.
But the freckles and the pale skin is like my Irish side, I think.
So like a very like good look, I feel.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay. You started this amazing company. You were working for a lot of other people, different agencies. Did you go into it knowing that you always wanted to start your own thing? Or did you just have like this epiphany, like, you know what, I'm doing all of this shit for other people. Like, I'm just going to do it for myself.
Yeah, I was never one of those entrepreneurs that was like searching for the entrepreneurial idea. Mm-hmm. No shame for people who do. I think it's become more and more popular.
Well, just to pause on that, because I think that, you know, there are people like Gary Vee, and I think that there's this like new trend where everyone thinks they need to like be an entrepreneur and start their own thing. And I don't think you can start with wanting to be an entrepreneur. I think you have to have an idea that you feel like, I'm the only person that can bring this to market and I believe in it. But I think there are a lot of people now, unfortunately, that are like, I want to work for myself. I don't know on what, but I'm just going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That's like not sustainable, right?
No, it's not. But I think there's also... There's also a mentality of like, you'd rather have the freedom even if you're kind of broke. It's almost like the starving artist thing. Like that construct that's existed for a while, I feel like people would rather have their own autonomy and like be pushing for their own brand and their own like personal brand, even if that means that it's not lucrative. Because in those times, like in the ramp up time, it's more personally rewarding. And I feel like I am seeing a lot of that, especially with how much hiring we're doing.
Yeah.
But back to like shower cap, it was exactly what you said.
Yeah.
It was like, I have this idea. I can't sit on it. It's too relevant.
Yeah.
Who's going to do it better than me? Like, I have to do it now.
Yeah.
Like that was my chain of thought.
Yeah.
But I also would say that I always used to kind of, when I was a junior creative, I was applauded and celebrated for, you know, how outspoken I was in meetings and like my strong POV. And, you know, as I rose the ranks and became more of a leadership position, that did become threatening to certain men that I worked with. And it was obvious that it was always going to be a thing. And I wasn't the type that was going to like swallow it or let it not
be a thing.
Right,
you were going to always be you. Yeah.
So when I had the idea, I was like, this probably makes sense for me. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably not going to work in corporate America forever.
Yeah.
You know? And both my parents worked for themselves.
Right. So you kind of had that blueprint in front of you of how to do your own thing.
It didn't feel scary.
Really? So that's like, I have ideas that I'm really passionate about, but I'm scared to take the jump. Like, I feel like I have such a great safety net / salary and like the comfort of knowing what's next. And I think that the stress of knowing that like if something doesn't go well, it's all on you, right? Isn't that, I mean, doesn't it keep you up at night a little bit? Especially now that you're hiring people, like they have taken this risk to then work for you and then don't you feel responsible for them?
I feel very responsible for them, but I feel more responsible for creating a culture that they love and in like individual career paths that they feel personally motivated by. And that's where I feel really responsible in like building a company that they can be proud to be a part of.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you know, like I was flying by the seat of my pants.
Right.
Like we were selling so many right from the start. I think that I am really thankful that it took off the way that it did because it allowed me more room to figure things out.
Yeah.
I think that I would have been a lot more scared if, you know, if I had to go back to advertising right away, because that was the plan, was like launch pre-sale, see how it goes, go get married, come back from the honeymoon, and then, you know, evaluate if I wanted to take another freelance gig or wanted to do this full-time and move into a WeWork. And then, yeah, I just moved into a WeWork and we haven't stopped since.
That's awesome. But it sounds also like you're a really good leader.
Thanks. I try.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you even care about people's individual career progression and creating the right culture, a lot of people overlook those things. And it's interesting / disappointing that a lot of the female founders like we've all heard the stories about Mickey from things and, you know, some things, I won't even name names, but
yeah,
what's interesting is you've seen a lot of these female founded companies that when you hear internally what they're like, that they don't actually value women and that they mistreat people.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important from the beginning to decide, like, this is what our culture is.
Yeah. The thing that I'll say to that, just being a CEO, is like everything can be taken out of context.
That is true.
If there's a disgruntled employee, they'll find something to be upset about.
That's true.
And it's really stressful. And I'm not saying that, like, she couldn't handle it. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that, like, I don't fault anyone for, like, outbursts
or having a
big personality that kind of came off sideways or that someone took personally, because, like, that is kind of an element that I could understand.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about making sure that everyone wants to show up and getting, like, a temperature check. I've always been really empathetic, almost to a fault. And I think that that translates to the way that I run the business and the way that I lead. But at the same time, they're like my livelihood. Like,
right.
I have to put my faith in them. So there's, like, a little bit of self-preservation in it,
right,
too.
Right.
Like, I don't want to replace any of them. Like, they mean everything to me. And
right.
Like, we're building this incredible thing and they know it inside and out. And, like, that is, like, more valuable than gold.
Yes.
You know?
What's your sign?
Aries.
Oh, you're an Aries. My husband's an Aries. So you're, like, driven, ambitious. Do you align with all of the Aries women traits?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm, like, a stereotypical Aries.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would have said that you were an Aries. I do this thing where I, like, guess people's signs and they always freak out. I should have guessed before I asked you. So there's this question that gets asked a lot around, can we have it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you are married. So I'm going to say that you have a good partnership. At least you're, you know, in a committed relationship. You have this very successful business that is a passion of yours that you're able to be creative in. You have this great team. Do you think it's possible to have it all?
I mean, I can be honest here. Like, I've gained, like, 50 pounds since my wedding. You know, like, balls drop.
Right.
But it's about recognizing what your priorities are,
right, okay.
and knowing where your line is. And, like, I self-sacrificed a little bit in order to see this crazy growth,
mm-hmm.
in order to keep up with it. Like, I had to kind of, like, deprioritize myself.
Okay. So, like, does that mean, like, going to the gym, getting sleep?
Yeah. Oh yeah. None of it. Like, none of those things.
So this is really important, because I think that a lot of times people see the success, but they don't see what this personal sacrifice is, right? So maybe starting a crazy successful company means that you're not going to be at Pilates 4 days a week.
Yeah,
and you're not going to sleep 8 hours a night.
I would say, though, that, like, if your priority is to make sure that when you're getting your company off the ground that you don't have to sacrifice those things, then that's a decision that you can make,
right.
as founder. And for me, we didn't really have a choice.
Mm.
Like, it blew up so fast that I kind of just had to double down and do everything that I could with every minute that I had. But that being said, like, everything levels out. Like, I have a trainer 3 times a week.
Nice.
Like, you know, like, I'm getting 8 hours.
Nice.
And I make, and now I'm able to make that a priority. But yeah, I mean, the idea and the concept of having it all is I think just about personal definition.
Yeah. So how do you define having it all? What's having it all for you?
Like, happiness when I wake up.
Mm. Okay.
Not when I go to sleep. 'Cause, like, anything can happen
yeah.
during the day that
yeah.
like puts you in a foul mood or, like, feels challenging or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's about the next day when you wake up, if with a clear mind and some rest behind you and some perspective, if, like, you're still excited about your relationship, your friends, your, you know, your success at your company, like, that's how I define it.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think a lot of women start thinking about, like, family planning also with career. I'm guilty of not really thinking about family. Like, I know I want to have kids. It's kind of in the future-ish. Did you think about, okay, so if I leave this, like, stable job that I have and go into this, like, did you think at all about, okay, do I want to have kids? When would I be pregnant? Will I have time to do this while starting my own company?
Yeah, I mean,
you're young.
Yeah, I'm a little young.
Yeah.
I'm not that young. I wish I was younger.
Okay.
I'm like just now at the point where like when I go to my gynecologist, she's like, so have you and your husband talked about it?
But how long have you been married? Not that long.
Since 2015.
Okay. 3 years. That's not.
Yeah. 3 years.
My husband and I got married 2015 as well.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. What month?
September.
Cool. We were in November.
Nice.
So yeah, I mean, I think about it. I definitely think about it, but I'm lucky to have a really supportive partner that isn't putting any sort of pressure.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of really like kind of individually successful couple friends that had families later in life.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have a really good blueprint of the kind of life we want to create. And I also, we talk about this a lot that I kind of subscribe to the Parisian idea of like of raising children, which is like everything and nothing exists unless the partnership is strong.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I'm obsessed with the way that French people approach.
Just live everything.
Right, because it's like, well, they say that it's like myself first, then my husband, then my children. And in America, it's my children, then maybe my husband, then myself last. And there's just this...
My job. You forget my job.
You're right. But there's this total cultural shift in terms of the way I think European and specifically French women will say that my partnership is way more important than my relationship with my kids. And I don't think it's like that in America.
Yeah. And I think it's reciprocal, right? Mm. Like it's the stronger that the core is, the better it is for the children in the long run, which I think, I mean, my parents are divorced. So, I mean, I turned out fine, but I do think that element is really important to me in my marriage. And we have a very different type of marriage, and we've been together for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
So we've been together since college.
When you say you have like a different type of marriage, like, are you like in a crazy open marriage? No. Not that open marriages are crazy, but like what different how?
No. My parents had like a very, like a fiery, intense, like, I'm pretty sure I was conceived before they got married. A really, really strong, intense, passionate.
Got it.
Fast, I think. Love affair.
Yeah. Highs and lows.
Highs and lows. And then for Alex and I think we have like a sustainable, like strong base. And we grew up together. Like we started dating when I was 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or 21. Because I remember one date, like I didn't have my ID and it was like a big deal. But yeah, like we've really kind of like grown our lives in similar paths, and he supported me and I've supported him, and like I am who I am because of him and he is who he is because of me. And that feels like it's a much stronger like
union.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
So yeah, I love him like extra a lot. Aww.
That's adorable. I'm all for people being in love.
Yeah. And I there was a long time where I was like, I'm a girl boss. Like I'm
right.
You know, like I'm not going to talk about it. But I also think that there aren't really enough powerful women talking about strong partnerships.
Yes. And it's so important in order for you to do what you do, you need to have a support system that's on board. Because I think a lot of men are either threatened or they don't. To have a guy that gets it and gets it like you're a boss in your own right.
Yeah.
Is amazing.
Yeah. And also so supportive. Like when I was like, I'm going to reinvent the shower cap, babe. He was like, that's dope. You should do it.
Awesome.
You know, like there was never like how big is the market? Can you prove it to me? And you know, it was just like, well, yeah, no one's going to do that besides you. So you should go do that.
That's awesome. Are enjoying the conversation with Jackie, taking a quick break to talk about our sponsors. I'm really excited about Curology. Curology is entirely customized skincare made simple for people that are very busy. You basically just answer a few questions, take some pictures. That gets sent to a personal provider who assesses your skin, and then they make you a custom mix of skincare that's targeted to specific problems that you have. And you get to talk with them, ask questions. It's really amazing. I've been using it for about 2 months now, and my skin is looking fantastic. For all of my Naked Beauty listeners, if you go to the link in my show notes, it's curology.com/nakedbeauty, you will get your first month free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. shipping, $4.95, which I think is a steal. This is incredibly, incredibly customized. All of the ingredients are explained really well on their site. They have a 90-day money-back guarantee, so they really want you to be happy with your skincare product. So definitely check out Curology. And of course, Studio wireless headphones. You can use the link in my bio and use code NAKEDBEAUTY at checkout. I've been using the Trey headphones. They're super comfortable. They never fall out of my ears. Can't recommend the wireless headphones enough. All right, let's get back to the show. Yeah. So you have a lot of pressure around you just by being a CEO and founder. Mm-hmm. How do you like cope? Like, what are your like self-care go-tos? Are you like a retail therapy girl? Are you a yoga girl? Like, how do you basically balance it all?
So I just started working out again, and I've noticed a really big shift just
in like overall mood.
Yeah, just like stress relief in kind of like a holistic way.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And so wait, does the trainer meet you at a gym? Is it like an Equinox thing?
Yeah, I go to Equinox.
Okay, and you like your trainer. Is it a girl or a guy?
It's a guy.
It's a guy.
He's like a 24-year-old kid from Long Island. He's so cute.
Does that help?
He's like... Yeah, he might listen to this, but he's like a sweet little brother that just happens to be like a 6'4 football player.
With like a six pack. Nice. Whenever I've done personal training, I haven't responded well to like being really exhausted and for them to be like 10 more pushups. I'm like, there aren't 10 more.
And see,
like,
I love that.
Really?
Like the last week I was like, because he could tell that I was like in a kind of a mood.
Yeah.
And he was like, how do you feel about the session today? I was like, I'm bored. Like, you have to figure out ways to challenge me because otherwise I'm just like going through the motions.
Yeah, I'm just going to check out. Yeah.
And so this week it's been all like different motions and like really pushing and I love that stuff because I'm so goal driven that like a small goal or a big goal, it doesn't even matter. Like, I just love like setting something and achieving it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Personal training, it's expensive, right? It's way more expensive than going to class. But would you say that it's money well spent?
For me, it was because it was the only way that I could get back into the gym. I had tried to get back into the gym. Like Lisa, who's my VP of operations, she's kind of like my right hand and she knows me better than anyone at the company. And we had like meetings about how to like clear my schedule so that I could get into the gym. And it never happened. Something's always more important.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something that the time could be filled with. And like, I would sign up for SoulCycle classes and then just not go.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I needed extra ammo to be like,
yeah, you need that like financial, like you need that cost, sunk cost idea to get you there.
Exactly. And also like a human, like if I'm running late, like I literally get a text message is like, where are you? And I'm like,
yeah. So that helps you to be accountable.
So for that, it's like, I feel the same way about like Sakara. Mm. It's like, shut up and take my money. Like just to be able to go on autopilot also. And just like, if you can commit to something, like having a program that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, when so many other things in this world and this city, like don't make you feel good. I think that it's so important. But again, like recognize that I was sacrificing all of it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like anything to make it better.
That's great.
But I do. I feel like it's really helping. Really, really helping.
Is there anything else you do like at home? Like, are you like a face masker? Are you like...
I'm a face masker. Okay. I use my shower cap and I use my face mask. And it's like one of those moments where it's... Because I feel like shower cap, the way that I use it is like for like time efficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always enabling me to like run to something.
Yes.
Or like put, like, you know, like that's kind of where the product sits in my personal life.
Yeah. I also use it when I'm putting on my makeup just to get like my hair out of my face. Do people do that?
People do that.
Okay. Yeah.
But for face masks with shower cap, it's one of the opportunities that I have to slow down with this product that I created. And it seems kind of like, I don't know, maybe a little bit hippy dippy, but like for me, that connection with the product in like a moment that is about self-care instead of just like driving, growth is really important.
Yeah, of course.
And then I'm also big on massages.
Ooh.
Like even just if I'm having a really stressful day, I'll do like a 15-minute one at the nail salon.
Just like a little quick.
Yeah. I just like, you know about the love languages?
Of course.
So I'm physical touch. Like,
okay.
All the way.
Yeah.
So just like having someone like give me a bear hug or like, yeah. you know, and that's one of the ways that like in the middle of a crazy day, like I don't have to ask my team to hug me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. Like whenever you get your nails or like pedicure done in New York, they'll be like, oh, an extra like 10 minutes for foot massage. And I think that because I'm always like, okay, my budget, and I'll be like, no. But every once in a while, I'll let myself say yes. And I'm always so happy that I did it.
Yeah.
It's all about like kind of treating, finding opportunities to treat yourself.
The little and the small, or the little and the small and the big and the large.
Yes.
The places that self-care has found its way into my life,
mm-hmm.
I think are the most interesting because it's so different than how it was when I was younger.
Right.
Like when I was younger, it was all about like restrictive nutrition and like no X and,
yeah.
And running 6 miles and yeah. signing up for a half marathon. And now it's like, where do these activities like allow me some stress relief? Where do I get space of my own, which is a really big thing.
Yeah.
Like space of my own.
Personal space is huge.
Yeah.
And creating these like sanctuaries for yourself. 'Cause even when I'm in my bathroom at home with no one else, I still close the door because I have to like create like a space. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
a space to get ready, play my music. I think the ritual of getting ready in itself is this opportunity for self-care. And I hate when I have to rush to get ready as well, right?
Because
it's nice to take your time.
And nice brushes.
Ooh, yes.
You know, just like the yeah. feeling of a nice brush
yes.
versus a cheap brush is
yes.
like...
That's my whole product deck that I will definitely share with you. But, you know, for like when I have like a weave-in, Mason Pearson's great. But when I'm wearing my natural hair, there is not a single nice afro comb on the market. Mm. Like it just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I feel like black hair products oftentimes are like a step below mainstream or like European hair products, and there's just no reason why
yeah
they need to be
really
like plastic and
we should talk.
Yes, okay, we'll talk. Okay, I want to ask you about how you handle self-presentation as mm-hmm. a CEO, because I think that a lot of guys go to meetings, what they wear isn't as important as what they're going to say, but unfortunately or fortunately for women, I think a lot of times how you like self-present is just as important as having all the facts and figures. Like, how have you handled that?
Well, luckily, because we're not doing a lot of investor meetings.
You don't have to raise money,
like,
yeah.
I'm not talking about a lot of facts and figures, mm-hmm. to be honest. Like, if it is, it's someone who's working for me
you.
Or with me.
Yeah.
But I think also being in fashion and beauty, which is kind of where this product sits, it's like even more important.
Yeah.
I just try to be myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to always make sure, like, we joke a lot that if my hair wasn't this long and thick and like I didn't have this like look
yeah.
in my hair, like who knows how successful Shower Cap would be.
Right. Yes. Because I think that, like, if you think about Emily Weiss, who's like obviously gorgeous, it makes sense that she's like the face of Into the Gloss, or like Tyler Haney from Outdoor Voices. Like, she's super fit.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes women who are CEOs and founders are expected to be kind of the face of their brand and then also develop a personal brand of their own.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
So, I mean, my personal brand, I joke that I want to be like the female Gary Vee.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a great
so
aspiration.
That's completely different. Like, that's completely different. But I think that like my personal brand is much more about like authenticity and mm-hmm. hustle. And like, I want to be the beacon of hope for every woman who wants to put an idea out into the world and doesn't necessarily have the means to do it
mm-hmm.
because I'm a little tired of the narrative about how few women get VC funding. 'Cause let me tell you, if you create a great brand, you get funding.
Right.
You
right.
know, so
right.
really positioning and continuing to position myself as kind of a thought leader in the power of design to build big business.
Mm.
So that's my personal brand, but I'm like, I'm personally motivated by that. I don't feel necessarily any like
you're forced to do that.
Like I'm forced to do it. But I will say that like, you know, I don't have 10,000 followers yet. Do I wish I had 10,000 followers? Yes, I have like 8,600.
Okay, that's amazing. I have like 2,000. Here's the thing. When I talked to Hannah Bronfman, she's like...
I love her.
She's amazing.
She's the Shower Cap.
all the smart girls, all the chic, smart, fashionable girls too. But she was saying, like, I feel like I don't have a lot. And that's like, what? Like, so there are always levels, right? Like, I'm sure Chrissy Teigen looks at Selena Gomez and is like, why don't I have that? You know, like, yeah. There's so many.
I do think that it's important, though. Like,
yeah, because it's a community, right?
It's really important. And I think that people need to know that you stand for something, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't matter, you know, what it is that you stand for or how it ties to your brand. But like, what's her name? Jennifer mm-hmm. from Away.
Yep.
She's always traveling.
Yeah.
Like, good.
Yes,
She should be.
Yes.
You know? And like, that's true to who she is.
Right.
And that's true to that brand. Yeah. So it does feel like an authentic tie mm-hmm. to what it is.
Something that you did recently on Instagram that like really let me know that you were authentic and about that life is you put in your caption, like, if you're like someone who wants to get into the business, DM me and like, I'll try to talk to you if I have time. And I was like, damn, like you're running a company. Like to put that out there is that in itself is a statement to make yourself available to just
Thanks.
People on the internet. It's like really powerful. I thought that was amazing. You did
Thanks.
That. Did people reach out? I'm sure they did.
Yeah, they did. And the reason I did that is because it was under one of the posts from my talk.
Yeah.
And I spoke at one of like the big global design conferences recently. And they always say that you know who your audience is by the queue who lines up to speak to you afterwards. Mm. So like my husband's kind of like a cool guy, sports, Powerade, whatever designer. Yeah. So like a lot of the guys like a lot of the people that line up to speak to him are like they have a similar look
or yeah.
you know, they have a similar vibe in their portfolios. And the 20 women that lined up to speak to me were in various phases of developing, launching, reigniting a brand or an idea that they had on the back burner for so long. And for me right now, I didn't have enough role models for female innovation. I just didn't. I had Sarah Blakely. I had the chick that invented Swell. But as far as like patentable IP breakthrough ideas, there was no one that was like in our class.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
No one was being public, I think, also. Mm. Is like, you know, they've had their companies for a really long time. Sarah's on social now, she's amazing. But no one was talking about like the hustle through it.
Right.
Or the development of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm the person that needs to do that. I really do. So if someone does have an idea, like I don't want it to be scary, you know?
Yes.
And I want to give the playbook of how to make it a reality. But that's why I did it because like I was so inspired. I almost cried. Like this woman told me that she had put this idea away and she was hoping to come to my talk to get the inspiration to bring it back to life.
Wow.
10 years.
Wow.
10 years. And she was like, and I just want to let you know that you delivered in spades. And like, I already texted my lawyer to renew my IP, like her trademarks or whatever.
That's amazing.
So that for me is like, if I have no other place in this world, like that's what I want it to be.
Oh, that's it. I like literally got chills.
It's
just
fun,
like listening
right?
to that. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I feel like it gives me a mission too that's not like a one-for-one model or donating 10% of, you know, our proceeds to charity. I feel
right.
like this allows me to give back in a much more meaningful way. And
yeah, I feel like there could be like a DJ Zoo Academy,
right?
Right? And like internship programs and like if you want to go towards that.
There's a lot that we're thinking about for like the years to come in not only our future innovation funnel and how that sits, but like how grant programs, you know, come into play and how we can have like pitch nights that, you know, allow me to sit on the panel, but also bring in, you're right by story, like similar to their,
right.
to their application process. Like you come in, we can facilitate that. I also am really excited about like just continuing to find ways that scale with us that allow me to still be available.
Right.
To be able to like be there for people, because I think branding as a whole is one of the reasons why we've been able to get to where we have.
Yeah. You have an amazingly strong, clear brand.
And like, I did that because that's what I knew.
Yes. That's your background.
It's
You're
my
an
background.
Expert
it's
in
what
it.
I knew.
Yeah.
But so often it's an afterthought for people that are launching something.
Yeah, and it can't be. It's kind of everything.
It's everything.
Yeah.
And especially now it's everything. So yeah.
I mean, I did my brand book for this podcast before I even recorded the first episode.
Right.
Because I knew what I wanted it to be.
Of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd love to see that, by the way.
Yes, I will definitely share it with you. I've also, I feel like, worked at Ralph Lauren for a while, and I understood, I mean, talk about having a brand. There was a specific color, a specific way the photography was, the way we talk,
Yeah.
There's so much emotion that goes into creating a brand, and you have to think about what emotion you want to elicit from people.
Yeah.
So it's great that you have that background.
Yeah. And we have a larger purpose even in the product, right?
Like, right.
Yes, that's
so important.
Yes, they're the greatest shower caps known to women.
No, they really are. And I should break and say, I'm totally kidding. No, no, they are. So one thing is, I'm going to link to your Instagram in the show notes. So everyone should go and follow Jackie, because her social is actually really awesome. And then obviously I'm going to link to the shower cap in the description. And then also I've seen some really great blogs and videos of women and different uses for the shower cap. And one of the ones that I'm personally obsessed with when I'm wearing my hair natural is sleeping in it overnight.
Even with the conditioning treatment.
Yes. And your hair wake up with your hair so much more moisturized. There's just so many uses for it. So I want all my listeners to really get on board. So I'm going to link to both of those in the show notes.
I'd love that. Should we do a promo code?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay.
We can. Okay.
We'll talk.
We'll talk.
So yeah, I mean, the thing is it's a product, but what?
Sorry, one second.
It's okay.
Okay, continue.
Good. So it's a product, but I feel like what we sell is female empowerment.
Mm.
Like, what we sell is your ability to make a choice. You can make a choice for something that makes you feel luxurious and better when you put it on, mm-hmm. when you're completely stripped down to nothing but you.
Yeah, naked.
Naked.
Yeah.
Or you can make a choice for something that makes you feel like you're making a sacrifice.
Right.
And when you're in that moment, you should put on something that makes you feel great.
Absolutely.
Like at your core, you should feel incredible. So a lot of what we talk about is just this idea of never settling.
I love that. Can you tell me the three beauty products or beauty trends that you're absolutely in love with, obsessed with at the moment?
Skin.
Okay. You're big into skincare?
No, but I'm obsessed with trying to be big into skincare.
So what products do you use?
I'm on the spot now. So I've been a Clinique girl my entire life.
Okay.
And my skin is super sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I should have taken pictures. There's this, I bought it from Credo. It's an activated pump that when you pump it, it mixes it together. So
oh.
it's always live.
Yeah.
Its purest form. I forget the brand. It has a white and yellow box.
Okay. If you email me after, I'll link
okay,
to it.
Okay, great. And then can sleep be a thing?
Yes.
Cause I feel disgusting, not just physically, but I feel everything good that I've ever done to my face or every product that I've ever put on has not done anything that 8.5 hours of sleep.
Oh my God. Literally say that again, because sleep is so, it's like going to a spa.
Can I tell you more too?
Yes.
So do you know Kristen Noel-Crowley?
Yes. Yes. She's so fab.
Okay. So the lip masks are amazing, but do you know the star,
the eye masks yeah.
that she just launched? I swear to you.
They're really good.
It's so good.
Are they for sale yet? Or is it just
exclusively on Net-a-Porter?
Oh, okay.
But she gave me a taste and I was just I need this more.
Okay.
I need more of these.
Okay.
These are amazing.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, they're really good and they brighten and they moisturize and they lift. And I swear, I don't even think she talks about this, but when I'm tired, my eyes get sunken.
Yeah.
And when I put them on, they
feel awake. Oh my gosh. Okay. I need to try these.
Yeah. And they're so cute too. It's a delicate gold. It's not a crazy gold. It's just a little shimmer.
Nice.
Anyway,
those are your beauty products you love.
Yeah.
Are there any beauty?
A rosebud salve.
Rosebud.
I can't go. I have a rotating arsenal of colored lipsticks that I use.
Yeah. I feel like I always see you with a pinkish lip.
Pink or red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you always have a lip on.
I always have a lip on. I kind of feel naked without it.
So is it a stain? Because it's not moving.
I blot.
Ah, okay.
This is the NARS Schiappa.
Okay. NARS has such good colors.
I always love NARS. And then my girlfriend bought me like a little mini perfect Chanel red for my birthday. And I've been using that a lot.
But I love a good red lip.
I always like put it on, blot it off.
Okay.
And then it kind of lives like a stain.
Smart.
And then I'll put a little bit of like rosebud salve over it.
Oh, smart. So you lipstick, blot, and then rosebud salve to keep it moisturized.
Yeah, because it lets it live longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what are the beauty products? Sorry, not beauty products. What are the beauty trends that you are just totally over?
The half-shaved head.
That, yeah, I think it had its time and moment and we can all move on.
I just, like it barely made sense in the beginning.
It was kind of cool when I feel like when Cassie did it, I was like, but she can do anything. And
she
you're
can
like,
do anything.
Rihanna did it.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for a moment.
Yeah. It's over though.
I agree.
I think it's
had its moment.
I think we can put it to bed. I agree with that one.
So that's that one. Overly whitened teeth.
Ooh, okay.
Is that, I keep noticing it.
Really?
Like the kind where they're like almost blue.
Ooh, how are people, I know some people use like these like LED light thingies, which yep. I don't even know how those work and they love them. Yeah. I don't do anything other than brush my teeth at night and go to the dentist every 8 months, but.
You're so lucky.
Yeah, really bright white. But I don't think I would notice that if someone had like really white teeth.
I notice it all the time. I cannot really? Notice it. And for me, like effortless beauty and like kind of like folding like a routine into an effortless look is where the sweet spot is. Like you
I
never want to look like you're trying.
Yes. Like a pageant queen.
Yeah. And that for me is one of the things that like is like such a giveaway that like you are like at home like doing it like, doing the most.
Yeah, okay, amazing. Last beauty trend that you're totally over.
I know, I was trying to think of another one.
It can also be fashion related. Like very often people are like, I am so sick of seeing people wear these things. I'm like just so over it.
Feel bad.
Don't feel bad. I think that
ripped jeans.
Yes, let's talk about ripped jeans. Yeah, no, sometimes they're just it's too much. They're being taken to a level that's no longer
and again back to like that authenticity, right? Like
yeah.
Like if you're gonna wear them, do them as like vintage,
like old Levi's.
Let it be a vibe.
Yeah,
let them be torn in the right places. Like I'm so visual, like as a person, and I'm so detail oriented that like if someone has like slash strips or like they're sitting in a place that I know a knee doesn't bend.
Yes.
Something like that. Like it just drives me bananas.
Yeah, I think that's honestly an amazing one because I've just seen these denim brands create these like faux ripped destroyed denim and it looks very fake. It doesn't look like an authentically worn in.
Yeah.
Pair of jeans. Yeah. I do think that Golden Goose does a good job of making like sneakers that look worn in.
Yes.
I am never going to pay that much for a pair of sneakers, so I do not have a pair, but I appreciate that distressed look, but I think a lot of the denim is going too far.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
I appreciate distressed looks, but I feel like the cool factor about distressed anything is like where it's been.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, your shoes are dusty because you went to Coachella in them.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's true. That's
like,
true.
They're beaten up because you got them from like a dope vintage store and like your travels in Marfa.
Right. Right. It has a story.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
So like whenever it's just like done purely for aesthetics, I'm always like, no, though.
Yeah. You and know? You can, because you have a trained eye as a designer, you can tell that it's not the truth.
I know. Is that horrible?
No.
It makes the world hard. I really
Are you just like constantly walking around like critiquing things like that billboard's wrong, this is off, this like is wrong, that font is wrong, that color is wrong,
like kerning, or if there's like a good idea that has a bad layout, or if something is like not put in right on like the MTA, like if it wasn't designed to sit within the metal window, Like,
it, like, drives
stuff
you crazy.
Like that drives me bananas.
That's so funny. I sit next to Chris. He's our art director on the team. And the way that he looks at things, it's so amazing. I wish that I had this type of eye. But the other day he was like, are you like, he's like, I don't think you're a sans serif girl. You seem like more of a serif girl. And I was like, what is serif or sans serif? And he like showed me. And I was like, yeah, I think I am more of a serif girl. Thank you for pointing that out. But yeah, designers have this particular eye and way of looking at the world that just other people don't have. It's kind of like a superpower.
One of my old bios, like for my advertising portfolio back in the day, used to say that I think that the food tastes better at restaurants with great typography.
That's great.
But I stand by it.
Yeah.
Like I absolutely stand
by it. Design is
like,
so important.
I have yet to meet a restaurant, like meet one, that I went and had a great meal with a shitty menu.
Yeah. I get it. It's all part of the experience.
It's all part of the experience. And I also think that it's a cue to like how sophisticated the owners are, that
totally.
It translates to the brand, and then
totally.
That translates to how they approach the food.
And
then that translates to how they approach, like, you know, the interior design of the space.
Yeah.
And
everything
the
communicates
versus candles. Exactly.
Everything communicates.
It's more of a cue than like an indication.
Yes, that's so true. Okay. Final question. When do you feel most beautiful?
This is easy. This is, out of all of the questions, I was like, I know this answer.
People always think this one's the hardest. Every time I ask them, they're like, whoa, I need to like regroup and think.
So I feel the most beautiful when I have like a clean face, like really clean, like double cleansed, moisturized. Woke up in the morning in like a beautiful pair of silk pajamas.
Ooh, nice.
You know, with like the light
yeah.
on your face.
Yeah,
and like,
I feel that one.
You know, you're just starting your day and it's just you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And pajamas like the top and the bottoms with
yeah.
the drawstring, like not like a little nighty thing. Cause I feel like those aren't comfortable.
They're not comfortable.
Yeah.
But really like any intentional sleepwear.
Yes. Okay.
Like any like intentional silky lacy yes. like set or
yeah. like,
I
have
a lot of
good.
Like short sleeve, like short
like
drawstring
yeah, yeah,
combinations.
Yeah. yeah.
I love those. Yeah. They're so good because they're comfortable, but they're still super cute.
They're still super cute. I feel like that would be a great like next product integration for your whole thing because looking good at home, it's like the shower cap. Now we need to have the like fab silk robe and pajamas.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you off the podcast.
Okay, tell me off the podcast, but I really hope that like you make everything that's shitty now. And
better.
Yes, well, cheers. Thank you so much for coming on
Thank
the Naked
so
Beauty podcast. This was
me.
So much fun.
Thank
and
you.
I know that we will continue to catch up after this.
I know, I can't wait.
I just,
new friends.
Yes, yes, cheers.
So good. Cheers.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who has subscribed, who has rated, who has reviewed the podcast. Keep spreading the word. I really appreciate the support. Swing it over here, shout it.